Okay, so I'm going to focus specifically on different options for creating responsive designs for specifically HTML5 targets. Now, some of the things I'll talk about could be used in other target types, and I am going to address print as well, but that's my main focus. And kind of the purpose of this session is there are a lot of options. There are a lot of ways that you can lay out content on the screen. And they all have different advantages and disadvantages, and it gets kind of overwhelming trying to pick the right one for your situation. So my goal is, when you leave the session today, maybe you'll have at least some potential solutions. Like you might think, all right, that's not going to work for me, but maybe one of these will work and I can look into them. After the session, if you start applying anything that I talk about to your real project and you have questions, you can always email me and I'll be glad to help you as much as I can. Everything that I show you, including all the examples, I have a sample project, so you can download the sample project and use that as a starting point if you want, along with the presentation itself. All right, so let's take a look. So here are all the options I'm going to cover. As I said, there's quite a few, so I have lots of things to talk about. We're going to start with the table tag, then we'll get into columns, float, responsive layouts, which are a feature in Flare. Some of you may have used those already. And then there are some different display settings that are very interesting. Display table, display grid, and display flex. So that's my goal, to give you an overview of all these different options. And we'll start with the table tag. For each of the options, I'm going to tell you, why you might consider using this option or why you might not use it, pros and cons, show an example. I give you a code sample, talk about advanced things you can do with it. As I said, talk about print. And then, probably the most important, when does it work and when does it not work? So which browsers will it work in? And things like that will be our wrap-up for each option. Okay, so the table tag. Why would you use a table tag? The only time you're supposed to use the table tag is when the content is actually a table. Historically, people would use the table tag for layout. You probably heard this many times. People will freak out and say, you should not use tables unless it's an actual table. You should not be used for layout. Well, fine, but sometimes it's the only way it's going to work. So sometimes you have to use a table tag for layout. So there's a difference between should you use it and if it's the only option you have, then you got to do it. All right, I'm sure you're familiar with tables. The pros, as I said, it works. And in situations where none of the options work other than tables, then that's going to be the way to go. They're easy to use, something that's Flare specific. We have table styles to let you format them, so that's a huge advantage. Downsides, as I said, you're not supposed to use a table unless the information itself is actual tabular data. And they don't adapt very well. So by themselves, if you have content in a table, just pretend this is a table. If somebody's on a small screen, the table doesn't know to adapt. It's still a table. It's not going to get much smaller. It's not going to change what it looks like. You can do that with JavaScript, as I'll show you. But the table normally is a table unless you adapt it yourself. So tables weren't designed to be responsive other than slightly changing their width. So here's an example of a table with some fake content in it. This is a two-column table. You can see content on the left, content on the right. And to show you the problem I'm describing, it sort of adapted as I made the screen smaller. But now at some point, this isn't going to work for your content. Yes, it's side-by-side, but it's not very wide. So that's not a great solution. The code for a table, normal HTML code there. Some advanced options you can do with table styles. If you have a table style, you could set up, say, custom row and column styles or alternating row and column styles. And as I was telling you, you could use something like scripting, usually jQuery, to create responsive tables. I have an entire presentation about responsive tables tied into jQuery, lots of examples. I will show some tomorrow as well, but if you want to go to my website and get that whole presentation, there's some cool things you can do with JavaScript. You're just kind of plugging in a script to adapt your tables. But by default, a table is not going to, say, change to a list when it's on a phone without some scripting. for print, well, that's a place where tables have an advantage. Certainly a PDF or Word document knows what a table is. A lot of the other options I'm going to show you, especially if you output to Word, it has no idea about things like Flexbox and Grid that we'll look at. But a table is going to be a table. If you output to Word, if you output to FrameMaker, you output to PDF, it's going to work and be consistent. One gotcha with the table tag, when you have a table, browsers don't normally print background colors. And a lot of people like those alternating colors or to have a background color for a table header. So I was working on a project recently, you may have done this too. We set up the header row to be white and pretty much a black background. Well, when the user printed it, the white does become kind of a gray, a really light gray, but the black background was gone. So it didn't look very good. So you have to keep that in mind. You can adapt that and fix it with CSS, but that is a common gotcha with tables. The background colors will not print. The user can go into their browser when they print and tell it to print background colors, but we can't trick the browser into printing them. All right, but as I told you, it always works. It works in every browser, and it's going to work in PDF and Word output. Let's take a look at something a little bit more complex. The columns. There is a column CSS property. And I think it gets overlooked a lot. But in many situations, columns are actually a really good option. So why would you use columns, if you're wondering? It's a typical idea of like a newspaper. If you want to have content that flows, say, down one side and then down the other side, it knows to wrap like this, you want to use a column. If you think about a table, tables don't wrap like that. I mean, you can have rows, but they're not going to wrap like a newspaper. I guess I should do it this way, this way, and this way. But a column is designed to do that. It'll automatically do that. And, of course, you could have three columns or whatever. Sort of a gotcha with columns, something to watch out for. There is an MC columns and some other properties in Flare. And you might just assume, you know, be a natural assumption. Oh, in Flare, I can use this MC columns style property. Because anytime you see an MC style property in Flare, stands for MADCAP, it's Flare specific. And typically, it's MADCAP fixing a CSS property that either doesn't work well or doesn't do what we want it to do. But this one's a little bit different. The MC columns style property in Flare is really used specifically for something like an index and only for Word and FrameMaker targets. So it's not really a viable option to the normal columns style property because it's designed to do something different. It's a very specific use case. So unless you're trying to create like an index for a Word or FrameMaker target, MC column count's not really going to help you. Instead, if you're interested in print and you want to have content that flows, as I said, in columns, you would typically create a page layout and have two, I think the easiest way is to have two body frames in a page layout. So that's the easiest way to do it for print. And that works great. Okay, so one of the things I like about columns, they're very simple to set up. You can have, of course, as many columns as you want. And if you're trying to mimic a very print-based design, I think it works really well. I'll show you an example. So here's an example of it, just so you can see it. I put in this line right here. So that's a property that you can specify. You can specify this gap, the space between the columns, and the formatting of a sort of divider line. And if we make the screen smaller. So they work really well. And they've been around a long time in CSS. So they have great support. So the pros, easy to use. They are responsive. There are a couple of display issues in Flare's editor. I think that's because not a lot of people use columns. They've just been overlooked. So if I have created some really complex columns, and when I look at them in the Flare editor, they look a little strange. But you see that with other things, too. If you're getting really cutting edge, sometimes an editor, whether it's Dreamweaver, Flare, RoboHelp, whatever, has a little trouble displaying it. So I just turn off the display option in Flare, and it works fine. Print, they're just going to ignore the columns. It's just going to go all the way across. There will not be columns. You'll have to use, like I was telling you, I would recommend the multiple body frames in your page layout to have columns. They have a little trouble with overflow. So overflow is going to come up quite a bit when you want to have content side by side. The idea is, what if I have two blocks side by side and the information that's supposed to fit in this block doesn't fit? So if I said, hey, you're going to be 3 inches wide, and I put something in there, like, I don't know, a picture, and it's bigger than 3 inches, something has to happen. And a lot of times it just pushes outside the borders of the thing, and then it overlaps the other element beside it. Or sometimes you could tell it to hide it, or chop it off, or crop it. So you have to watch out for that with overflow. If the columns are, say, a fixed width, and the thing in it is bigger than the fixed width, you've got to deal with what you want to happen to it. And there are some nice break properties in columns to handle things like, to specify a column break, so when you want it to actually go to the next column, or even things like page breaks inside the column. But they don't work well in Firefox and Chrome. So you have to watch out for the advanced break properties. That's how they're coded. Typically, we put it inside of a div. So we have a div up here. I just named my style class columns. And then telling it you want columns, it's pretty easy. It's right here, column count 3. All right. And you can see the gap and the rule. That's the little divider line. So pretty easy to code. Some advanced options. Things like a column fill, where you can give it a background color and things like that. All right, so there's the support. They're well supported. Safari does have some issues. That's why I made it sort of an orange. Be a little careful with that. And then they'll be totally ignored in a print output. Float. Historically, float is the actual traditional way to use it, and probably why it was created in the first place, to be honest, is you have some text, you have some sort of picture, kind of a smaller picture, and you want content to float around or kind of wrap around the picture. So not necessarily two columns, but imagine a whole bunch of text, and you have a little picture, and the content kind of goes around. It's a nice effect. And if that's how you want to use it, if you want to float text around a little picture, works pretty well. If you're trying to float columns beside each other, then it gets a lot more frustrating. How many of you have used float before? Anyone used float before? Okay. And I bet not too many hands will go down when I ask the next question. How many of you have fought with the float property and struggled with it? Yeah, pretty much the same group. It can be frustrating. But if you persevere, float works pretty well within its own limitations. I think you always have to come back to that. It really wasn't designed as a kind of a high-level page layout or screen layout feature. It's more to float an element, not a whole bunch of elements. It was never really intended for that. As we move on, we'll see other things that are aimed at that. But I wouldn't say float was created for that. Float is easier to use than the display property I'm going to talk about with flexbox and grid and display table. So even though float can be kind of a pain, it's still easier than the other ones. It does wrap well. So if you really do want to have a smaller thing, whether it's maybe a call out of some text, or as I said, typically it's an image, and you want content to float around it, this is your solution. This is the way to go. It can be a little buggy. It has weird things. Those of you who have dealt with it, there's this concept of clearing the float to say, hey, stop floating around it. And the clear takes a little getting used to. I've always thought the concept of floating is a little strange, how it was designed. But once you get used to it, it does work well. Something to watch out for. It's not considered cool anymore, to be honest. So a lot of people are down on float and say, oh, you don't need to do that. You need to use this. But I think all of these are viable options. They all have a situation where they are the best option. And float is like that, just like everything else. So just because we have other options and the other ones people think are cool now doesn't mean float is suddenly bad. So don't mark it off just because people say, oh, nobody does it anymore. But they do. And a lot of times you need to do a float. Okay, so here's an example. Here it is using columns because that's what I'm focusing more on, but this could have been a picture over here. So same thing that you saw before with the table. This is the idea of this is a block of content, and we have some content right beside it. All right, and as we make the screen smaller, see this, now this is something new that we haven't seen. When the screen isn't wide enough, something like a float and the ones I'm going to show you next, the content that used to be to the right has moved down below, which is much better for a smaller screen. A table, as I was telling you, would not have done that. The table, as you saw in the columns too, they just got smaller and smaller, and then eventually they just don't look good at all. But something like a float knows to move down. All right, the code of it, you can have some content, say, for the left-hand side, maybe in a div, and content for the right-hand side, and then it just says float left, and I made it 50%. So 50% for you, 50% for you, and then they float right beside each other. The clearing, the weird part of float, so clearing is the idea of, hey, I have this content, I have this content, I want them beside each other. I have another block of content. I don't want it trying to move up here beside them and sort of have three things beside each other. I want to have these two, and then the next block of content is below it, going all the way across. So when you got to sort of content block three, you'd have to have a what's called a clear to say, all right, don't float up there. You stay right here. You're not going to float beside the other things. Well, putting in that clear is the annoying part. Because sometimes we don't know what's after it. So we have two things, but we don't know, we don't have to go to the next thing and say, hey, you have to clear it. It's sort of like the concept of, imagine if you had a list, and then you said, hey, I want extra space below the list. And you had to go to whatever was after it every time and apply a style property to say, hey, you have extra space above you. It'd be nice if that were automatic. It should be, and normally it would be. But with a float, you have to put that clear in there. So this is called the clear fix hack, where you can automate it. I'll make it a little bit bigger for you. So the idea is you can use the after pseudo class and then automatically say, after my block of content that is floating, put in an element automatically that clears it. So if you put that in your CSS, you don't have to manually clear the float. It does it for you. So this is a very common thing in CSS. It's a nice trick. Has anyone ever used clear fix hack before? Well, you can try it out if you want to. All right. What happens to float in print? I have spent a lot of time fighting with float for print. Because a lot of times people, but if you think about it, the idea of having some text with an image and the text floats around it, that's a very common thing that people want to do in print. I would say it's more common typically in print than online that people want to have. I mean, you've probably done that in Word before. In Word, you could right-click on it and do it. Say, hey, I want the text to float around you to the left or the right. It's the same concept. So I work with lots of groups that want to use float, especially with images, in print. One of the weird things about when we output to, say, a PDF or certainly to Word, if you have something floated, what really happens is it becomes a table. Kind of a two-column table, and you have to account for that. One of the, just as a tip for you, something I've run into, is if you, it seems to work better. You saw before when I made the screen narrow online, and we had a block of content, and it went like this. That's what usually happens in print, too. I look at the content and say, hey, they're not side by side. They went like this in print. That's not what I wanted. I want them to be side by side. So one of the tricks I've tried, and if you want to use float in print, is make the width of them not 100%, a little bit smaller. And I've had pretty good success when I made them, let's say, 96, the equivalent of 96% or something like that. I left a little extra space, and then they were able to float side by side. When I had them 100%, they it was somehow too much. I think because of the table. I think the table was putting in some padding or something, and that was making it more than 100. So if you really want to force them to work in print, try that. Try making them a little bit less than the full width. That's based on hours and hours of fighting with them. So I'm giving you a shortcut there. For Word, I don't even bother. Word's going to have no concept of something being floated. So you're going to find another solution there. But yes, if you deal with that width issue in PDF, I have gotten them to work pretty well. Another caveat, if you want to use float in print, if the two things that you're floating, if there has to be a page break inside of them, that's going to freak it out. So be careful about page breaks inside of them. But if you really think about it, it's the idea of I have something relatively small and some text floating around it, so there really shouldn't be a page break. If you really want to have whole bunch of content, then you need to maybe go back to a table for print. That's what a table was designed to do, not a float. That's not really floating anymore. That brings us to a responsive layout. How many of you have used responsive layouts in Flare? It's a very popular feature. So responsive layouts, you see them in the Flare help. You see them on MadCap's website. Responsive layouts are very commonly used. Now, in Flare, we have a very specific feature called responsive layout, but just general, the idea of, if you think not the feature called responsive layout, but the concept. The concept is what we saw. I have some content, and I might want to say side by side, maybe three of them, and then on a phone, one, two, three, they're stacked on top of each other. Or maybe on a tablet, it's one, two, and then three, the third one's down here. So that's what we're doing with responsive layout. But the feature in Flare itself, all built in, you can go and insert a responsive layout. It looks kind of like a table. But really, it's set up with divs. Okay, so it's use side-by-side layouts that can automatically stack on top of each other to fit a smaller screen. That's why we use them. It is built into Flare. I think that's a huge pro of a responsive layout. MadCap handles setting them up. You have their whole team testing them. If they find improvements, they can improve them. If they're not working for you, tech support can help. If you try to do your own Flexbox or Grid and it's not working, I mean, they can help you, but it's better if you're relying on a feature built into Flare. Where, you know, before they even added to Flare, of course they're going to do hundreds and hundreds of hours of testing on it to make sure it works. You're building on that rather than you just coming up with yourself. The responsive layouts in Flare are based on Foundation's grid system. So the idea of a grid in a responsive layout is very, very common. Foundation is certainly one of the most popular schemes, if you want to call it that, for responsive layouts. But they all have the concept of a grid. What you have to get used to with the grid, I put this in as a con because I consider it a con just because it didn't match my expectations, and it might not match your expectations of how it's set up. So looking at my screen up here, and over there on the left, the little bar right here, what if you wanted to set that up? In a responsive layout, if you think of this as a grid system, the width is based on all the way across, 100%, would be 12. So there's, imagine 12 sort of columns or grids going down. So we could say this one's maybe 1 as its width. So 1/12 of the screen. That's what took me some time to get used to. It's like, why did they come up with this scheme based on 12? That's not how people think. Now, if you told me, hey, it's based on 10, then I could say, oh, yeah, I want it to be 10% or 20% or 30%. That would make sense to me. That's what I expected. But no, it's based on 12, so you have to get used to that. The reasoning is, as you might guess, 12 is very divisible. That's why they did it. They didn't do it to be annoying. So if you want 50%, that would be 6. So two things side by side, 50, 50, 6 and 6 would be their width. Or three of them, 4, 4, and 4. Or four of them, 3, 3, 3, 3. So you can see there's a logic to it. There's a method to the madness. But you've got to get used to that 12-based width, which is It's a little learning curve there. All right, they are going to become a table if you output the word, so watch out for that. I mean, you can make it work as long as you know that. And they are source order dependent. That's going to come up with some of the other options. So a responsive layout, if you said, okay, over here on the left, I want that bar, and on the right-hand side, I want some text, then in the code itself, the picture would be first, because it's on the left, and the content would be later if you look at the file from top to bottom. Sometimes when you have content, maybe if it's dynamically generated, the content could be anywhere in the HTML file. And using some of these options, you could say, hey, I know in the HTML file, let's say it's this long, I know that your block of content is actually here, but when someone opens the file, I want that to show up way up here. So there are options I'm going to show you where it doesn't matter in the HTML file where the block of content is to determine where it displays on the screen. So something could be here in the file at the bottom, display in the top left, but not with a responsive layout. It needs to be in the right spot in the file. Now, when we're creating the content, that's not a big deal. But like I said, if it's dynamically created, you'd have to put it in the right spot in the HTML file. Okay, so here's an example. All right, so responsive layout. And then it moved down. I'll highlight it to make it easier to see. So we have side by side. And then it moved down here, just like the other ones. How is it coded? Divs again. We normally use divs to have these blocks of content. That's pretty typical. I named my responsive layout up to. That's kind of my convention. You can name them whatever you want, pretty much. But I always name them like that because in the printing world, if you said you wanted to have content side by side, then you would call that a two-up layout. But CSS doesn't like for style class to start with numbers, so I'd name it up two instead of two up, but you can come up with your own scheme. So all this code, this is the big pro. When you create a responsive layout in Flare, it's going to write all of this. All of this it creates for you, and then you can customize it. Well, sure, if Flare's going to write all that for me, it's better than me having to write that myself. And if you're not, say, a CSS expert, you probably wouldn't want to have to write this yourself. Okay, so they're setting it all up, and then you can control, say, the width of them. Some advanced options. The advanced options are, I don't see them used often in responsive layouts, but we have this idea of cell offset, which is kind of like moving it over. So I'm using this slide as an example here. That bar on the left, what if you said, hey, I want some amount of space. Instead of it touching the left side, I want some space there to kind of move it over. We could have maybe a cell offset to move it in rather than touching, starting at kind of zero on the left. And then the gutter is kind of the idea of the space between the two, if you want to call them columns. So that spacing could be called a gutter, a row gutter. So you can have the spacing, if you have two elements, and then two elements below it, the space between those rows, but also the space between the columns can be specified. Most of the time when you have a responsive layout, it's more, hey, I have a block and another block side by side, or three blocks. We don't normally have rows of them, but you can if you want to. All right, for print, they're not going to be side by side in a word output. I mean, this is way beyond. This is a totally online concept, so Word has no idea where a responsive layout is. It wasn't, you know, that's not MadCav's fault. It's not Microsoft's fault. Microsoft has a print-based tool. It doesn't have the concept of a responsive layout. And you have to be careful about them when they go across pages. As an online design tool, page breaks in general confuse all of these options, so you have to be kind of careful with that. It could break the side-by-sideness of them. Responsive layouts, what they're based on, the coding behind them, the CSS, has been around a long time in different browsers. You can trick them to work in PDF, as I was telling you, but you need some patience, and you need to be ready to experiment quite a bit, because PDF files also were not really, they're more print-based than online-based. They were really created for responsive layouts, but you can force them to work within some reasonable limitations, and then don't even bother with Word. Use something else. I don't mean Word itself. Don't bother using a responsive layout for Word. Use one of the other options, like a table or something else. That sounded meaner. I can be mean, but I didn't mean to be mean just then. All right, display table. The display property in CSS is really cool, really powerful. And this is something I like to use a lot. So we're talking about a literal table. That's the one I started with, where you have the table tag, and you have a table row tag, and you have column tags. I'm sure you've used tables a lot. Everybody has. But another option is just using CSS. So say P tags and divs if you want. You can tell them to display as a table. You don't have to go in and put in the table tag and the TR tag. You can have some block of content and say, no, you're going to display like a table, even though you're not tagged like a table. It's really how CSS works. When you have a table tag, the actual table tag, the table row tag, the columns tag, in CSS, their display property is set. The table tag itself is set to display table. That's how it knows it's a table. And the rows, TR tag, it says display table row. The cells, display table cell. So the display property is handling it. A list, when you put in, say, an ordered list, an OL tag, and it has list items inside of it, the OL tag's display is set to be a list. That's how it knows a display like that. So really, we're just going behind the scenes and saying, well, can't I just set the display for something else to be table? And of course you can. And this really gives you more flexibility. So let's check this one out. All right. So why would you do this? I see display table used a lot when you want to have what's sometimes people call them tiles. Some people call them cards. You can call them whatever you want. But let's say a home page. And you want to have, if you think of them as boxes, three little boxes on there. And a lot of times when you have a home page, you want to have these little cards, boxes, tiles, whatever you want to call them. Typically, you want them, the content in them, let's say you want it to be centered. So vertically and horizontally centered. And you want each of the cards to be the same height. Doesn't sound like a huge requirement. It sounds like a pretty common thing that people would want to do. Hey, I have these three cards on my home page. I want the content to be centered. I want them each to be the same height. And then you realize, well, there's a different amount of content in them. So what you're really saying is I want them to sense how much content is in their siblings, and they all adjust to match their height. That is painfully difficult in CSS normally, because usually a thing can only see itself. It knows how big it is. It doesn't know how big something else is. So setting the height based on something else's height is very hard. Display table? Not hard at all. Because if you think of a table and you have a row, however much content is in the row, the whole row gets that tall. And that's how display table works. So something like that use case is fantastic for that. So if you need things to be equal height, and if you need centering, display table is the way to go. So it's really good at centering. It's really good at heights. It does get kind of messy. If you're a real HTML purist, you might look at it and think, oh, I've got to put in a lot of extra tags to use display table. So you might feel like you're cluttering up your HTML part of it. Sometimes it's worth it. The overflow, when things don't fit, can be a pain, because it's going to push out, and then it could throw off the centering, it's going to throw off the height. So you really have to make sure, ideally, the content fits in the amount of space you're giving it. And it is also source order dependent. So what I mean by that, again, is you have the three cards. If you said, hey, this one's on the left, this one's in the center, this one's on the right, in the HTML, it has to be the one in the top, or the one on the top in the HTML is going to be on the left. The next one is going to be in the center. The next one's going to be on the right. You can't say, hey, I know this in the HTML, this one's down here, but I want it to display on the left. It can't dynamically reorder it. We'll get to a solution that can do that, but not this one. Now, you might be thinking, why in the world would I ever do that? Well, if you don't ever need to do that, then this one's still a good option for you. Okay, so here's an example. So this is not a table. I just set the display property for these two paragraphs so they look like a table. And here's the code. So I put in some divs. I have a div that's going to be the table. I have a div that's going to be the row. And I have divs for the columns. And all I had to do is say, okay, the outside div, many people call that the wrapper, display table. The row, display row. And then the two left and right, display table cell. So that's how it's working. So if we look back at it, this is really a div and another div, and they're showing side by side. Now, of course, you could put any content in there you want. I'm trying to use the same content so you can see the similarities between these options. The advanced option is that vertical align middle. I think it gets overlooked a lot, but if you want to align something vertically, display table is excellent. You just set it to middle to center it. For print, they don't line up as well in print, especially in Word. So we're way beyond what Word can handle if you want to output to Word. I would use a simpler technique like an actual table. Compatibility, when does it work? Well, it works really well. Display table has been in CSS for a very long time. So even though it's kind of advanced and right now is considered kind of cool, this is something designers are really interested in. A lot of times if you're looking for it, they call it tableless design because you're not literally putting in a table. So this is kind of a hot thing with designers right now. And it has great support. Right. Our last two are display grid and display flex, the two most advanced. Display grid, why would you use it? If you want to compare display grid and display flex, display grid is the concept of I want to do the layout first. So I want to come up with my design, and then I will develop the content. And I guess in an ideal world, that's what we typically do. If you're starting and you have no content, you come up with a design, and then you create the content based on the design. I think, at least for most of my projects, and probably the situation most of you are in, you have existing content already. You don't have the luxury of coming up with the design and then the content. It's more, hey, I have a whole bunch of content and I want to make my existing content look good. So, as an example, probably most of you have content that started out, say, in Word or FrameMaker or some print layout, and now you brought it online and you're saying, well, hey, I don't have time to go back and retag all this or reorganize it. I just want to adapt the content I have to an online device, and I want it to be responsive. So that's a big thing to consider with display grid. This is really the opposite concept, where ideally you're doing the layout first. Display flex is the opposite, as we'll see. It's more of a content first. Okay, display grid, pros and cons. The pros for display grid, a lot of people say it's a two-dimensional layout, where you're kind of working like display table, where you have the concept really of rows and columns. So very similar to display table, but it is source order independent. So imagine that you have, say, six things. We'll go with the cards again, six cards. And you said, all right, I want to have one design where the cards are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I want to have another design where it's 1, 2, 3, and then another row, 4, 5, 6. I have another design where it's supposed to be 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, backwards. You can do that, with display grid. You can tell them to display in a different order without having to move the content around in the actual HTML file. So you could say, all right, I want this block here, this one here, dynamically. And yes, if you're wondering, in my example, could I have one where it's just 1, 3, and 5 and leave the other ones out? Or 5, 3, 1? Yep, you can do that too. So you can leave things out easily, and you can put them in a different order, all using CSS, without you literally moving the content around. That's, and in some situations, that's a big advantage. Downside, we're beyond what we normally can do in a PDF or Word document, so it's going to be a fight to make them work if you're outputting to PDF or Word. And I personally think, how many of you have used Display Grid? Does anyone use this one? I'll prepare you. And if you start using it and you think, this is kind of confusing, it's confusing. I totally agree with you. Just the concept of it and how it's set up, because it has this, when you're setting up, say, the measurement unit is an FR, so it's strange measurement units, and you have this idea of track size. So I don't know who in the CSS team came up with this, but it's like they came from a totally different area with all the concept of it. It's very alien to me. But here's an example. So you could, these are the things I was calling, say, cards. I just put borders around them. I have 4. But in the basic example, that would be the content from top to bottom, first in the HTML file, and then this one, and then this one, and this one. But you could easily move them around just by using CSS, and that one could be on the far left if you wanted. Like all these options on a smaller screen, you can control how they wrap. So see how they're wrapping. So what I'm doing right here, you can see as I resize the screen, is 4, and then 3, 2, and 1. Even though the concept of setting it up is kind of confusing, telling it to do that is incredibly easy. I didn't have to do anything special to tell it to do that. Now, I could have controlled if you're thinking, that one, if you think, ooh, I hate that. I don't want it to have the 3 and the 1. I wanted to go straight to this one. Sure, you can absolutely do that. This is what it does automatically. It just automatically wraps. If there's not enough space, each one moves down. So this is how it does it automatically. But having that built in, pretty cool. You don't have to have, if you've used media queries, there's no media queries here saying, hey, this is tablet, this is phone. This is just saying, hey, they're this wide, and make them fit. However they fit, do it. So there's a payoff to it. Here's the code of it. The HTML part is very straightforward. So there's again, what's typically called a wrapper, a div around the whole thing, and then each one of the cards or boxes are in their own div. And then in CSS, you would say display grid. And then they call it a template. You write this template that says, here's how big they are. Mine are 20 rem. That's their minimum width. And then the space between them is a gap. That's a typical in most of these approaches. The space between things is called a gap. You saw that with columns as well. And you can specify its width. So you can have a gap between the rows, gap between the columns, which I specified. And that's it. That's the whole CSS. Remember the CSS I showed you for responsive layout? And it was like this big? This one's this big. A lot shorter. So some of the terms, like this FR, are kind of unusual. And that the concept of the template does take some getting used to. That's the learning curve. But there's also power there. You can write some really cool templates to control how they adapt automatically. And there are some great websites like Grid by Example where you can just go on there and visually say, ooh, that's the one I want, and just copy the CSS. So there's great websites that have all kinds of combinations of them. So that's Display Grid. The advanced options, there's quite a few advanced options. The template's probably the most advanced thing. You can write really complex templates for them. For print, no. Don't even bother with display grid. Use a page layout. That's what page layouts are for. So use a page layout for this. Because really, display grid is when we were talking about float, remember, that's a small thing. Hey, I have a paragraph and a picture, and I want them to be side by side and wrap. That's just really laying out two elements and how they interact with each other. Display grid is thinking about the whole screen and how you want to lay that out. It's a big picture thing. Like, hey, I want to have a toolbar and a menu over here and content here and a footer. Display grid's going to deal with that, not the little pieces inside of it, the elements. So for print, when we're laying out the whole piece of paper, we use a page layout. Compatibility. All right, now we're seeing a lot more of the orange, or whatever that color is. Is that brown, maybe? I'm not sure on the screen what you'd call that. Over here, it's kind of a orange sherbet. So only recently supported, it says 2017 right there. One of the few times the Internet Explorer seems cutting edge. 2012 and 2015. I have to tell you how incredibly pleased I am to share this, especially those of you that haven't heard, that Internet Explorer is pretty much dead. So Internet Explorer and Edge, if you haven't heard, they've finally given up on having their own browser, and they're going to use Chromium, so basically Chrome. And that the alpha version is now out. So if you're worried about supporting Internet Explorer and Edge, they will be gone. We will be down to Chrome, Safari are the ones I would focus on, Firefox. No more having to deal with Microsoft's nightmare. So Microsoft is really behind Grid. I think Microsoft did some cutting-edge things with their browser over time, but they always lagged behind. But they really fought for Grid and pushed the other browsers to support it. So that's something we'll have to watch for if you want to use Grid, because it's much newer in those other browsers like Chrome. So we'll have to see how much Google really pushes that forward. Flex, I've always thought of Grid and Flex as sort of competing technologies. So Display Flex, similar, but a little bit different. One of the cool things about Flex is the container, the wrapper, can sort of, it's conscious about its children, the things inside of it, and it can change their width and height. So it's really good about that. That's something we don't normally see in CSS. Usually it's the opposite. The children have an influence on the wrapper or parent. But in this one, it's more that the wrapper can influence the children and contain them. So this is like with Flex, the parent is more the boss of the children, whereas the other one, the children are just running wild and the parent's just trying to keep up. Content first here. That's probably most appealing to all of us. To me, this is the concept of, look, I got existing content. I don't have time to go back and re-tag it or move it around or change it. I've got all this existing content, and I want to put in something with CSS that adapts to my content, not I'm going to come up with a design and adapt my content to the design. So this is content first, and that's a big appeal to where we are typically. Advantages and disadvantages. This one's what most people call the future. So most people say this is the future of layout. It is source order independent, where the order from top to bottom in HTML doesn't have to influence how it displays on the screen. It's pretty good at centering and controlling the height. I think not quite as good as Grid, but still much better than all the other ones. Not well supported in PDF or Word. Maybe Adobe can enhance PDF to support it, but right now, It doesn't work well in Flare. There are ways, I'm not saying it won't display correctly in Flare, but if you wrote Flex just outside of Flare and plopped it into Flare, you'd have to tweak it a little bit to get Flare's editor to totally understand it, especially if you're doing something advanced. You see that actually if you create a responsive layout. Responsive layouts are an interesting mix of display table and grid and Flex. It kind of combines the best of all of them, and you'll see that they adapt it. So there's a little bit of tweaking to get Flare's editor to understand it because it's kind of cutting edge. But As long as you know about that, you can make it display correctly in the edit. Here's an example. So I intentionally made this one not quite wide enough. Okay, and there's no space between them. But see how it's doing the same thing basically as grid. How does it work? Okay, we have a wrapper just like before. The children. That's all the code. Even smaller. Even less code. So just a tiny bit of code. Display flex for the wrapper, the parent. And then a width for the children is all that you really have to have. It does all the rest. So this is kind of like the idea of it's built-in responsive. It knows if the screen's this wide to stack them on top of each other and make them fit that wide. It does all of that. So no media queries again. Pretty cool. Some advanced options. There are a lot of advanced alignment options and flow options. The flow is how it wraps down and even justification. A lot of these aren't well supported in browsers, but if you're patient, we'll be able to use them very soon. It's like I was telling you, this is the future. So this is what's getting a lot of attention in CSS. So I think this will be incredibly enhanced, even a year from now. Flex, just like grid, is really laying out the whole screen, or if you think in print, the whole page. It's a high-level design tool for print. You want to use a page layout to lay out the page. You would not use display, flex, or grid, really, for print. You should not be. So don't worry about it for print. It's not the solution, but pretty well supported in browsers. And I'll mention one thing to wrap up. I was telling you how Internet Explorer and Edge are going to be gone. I mean, they'll exist, but they're going to be really kind of splinter versions, kind of like Chrome. They'll be like same support as Chrome, basically, unless Microsoft does something bizarre, which is certainly possible. But I wanted to mention, if you're thinking globally, if your projects are going out globally, there are browsers that are geographically specific you should check out. There's one called Yandex. Here, I have it. I mean, you can download any browser. So if you want to check out, if you know you have a lot of customers in Russia, they use Yandex. That's the most popular browser pretty much in Russia. And in Africa, they use Opera Mini. That's the most popular browser in Africa. And in China, this browser called UC is extremely popular. So I think these get overlooked a lot. People just think, oh, I'll test in, you know, Internet Explorer and Safari and I'm good. If you have customers all over the world, you need to think about these other browsers and test in them too. So the ones I mentioned, UC, there's also one called QQ. That's popular, especially in China, both of those. Africa, Opera Mini, and Russia, Yandex. So you might want to do some testing in those. It is time for us to wrap up, but any questions before I wrap up? Of course, I'll be here the whole conference. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me during the conference. Give me, say, a couple days to put the sample presentation. I like to enhance, like, put little tweaks in them before I make it final. Presentation's already on my website. It's also in your that little app, but the project will be out there. So anytime you have a question here, anytime in the future, just email me. I'll be happy to talk about any of these. All right? So thank you. Okay. Until I hear people out there, I think we can handle one or two. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Great presentation. Thank you. And you mentioned that certain tweaks were required to get Flex to read in the text editor. Can you, like, summarize? Are they standard tweaks that apply to any usage of Flex, or the tweaks vary by usage?
If you want to use Flex in Flare in the actual editor and have it look in the editor as it looks in the output, build a responsive layout and look at how it writes it in there, and then just add those things. Like, you'll see Flare will write like this MC grid. And that all they're doing is they're kind of telling the editor, hey, this is using Flex and grid, and it knows to look for that. So it's just a little trick. I can send you more. I have examples in my actual presentation. So when you download the presentation, you'll see the little tweaks that make it work in Flare. Because the presentation, of course, was made in Flare. So everything you saw was Flare-based. All right, so I know we're supposed to wrap up, but feel free to ask me more questions, as I said. Thank you.